Hello, everybody. Today, we are going to be drawing landscapes using wet charcoal techniques. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof: critiques, tutorials, and professional development. If you are not familiar with wet charcoal, I highly recommend you take a look at this stream where I go over in depth a lot of the techniques that you can use with charcoal when it's wet. And today, I'm going to show you how to take those techniques and actually apply it towards drawing something that is more recognizable, which in this case is landscapes. I recommend that you draw along with me. You can use any media you want. Wet charcoal is phenomenal, but if you don't have that, you're welcome to use something else. The links to the art supplies that I will be using today, those are in the YouTube video description, as are the four reference photos that you see on the left of my screen, and you can download them off of our Flickr page. They're high resolution images, so it'll be very easy for all of you to see a lot of detail. All right, I really recommend if you care about your floors and you don't want a swamp in your room, get some towels and just spread a couple on the floor, because then what you can do is you can take the wet charcoal drawings and just put them on top of the towels. They do dry pretty fast, so it's okay to put them on top of each other, but sometimes you need to have two or three piles going. So I just like to have the towel nearby for that. Now for supplies, you really do need to use compressed charcoal for this, because vine charcoal is not gonna work. If you don't have compressed charcoal, another option is you can use soft pastels and just use the one that's black. I mean, you can use the colors, that's totally fine. But I do think if you haven't done wet charcoal a lot, it's really helpful just to do black or like a dark brown. So that way you have an understanding of the range of colors. And then you wanna have a spray bottle, preferably one that's not broken like mine. Everything I have is so junky. And this is not necessary, but I am going to do some scratching into the drawing today. So you can use anything for this. I just have these sculpture tools, but you can use the back of a brush, even the back of a pencil or pair of scissors, doesn't matter. But these are really nice for like scratching in like that. All right, let's get started. You guys are going to want to take your spray bottle and you're gonna spray your entire sheet of paper so it's totally wet. You can do things in different orders if you want. For example, if you wanted to start dry and then go wet, you can. But I do think that if you haven't done this before, starting with a wet sheet of paper will get you to see the possibilities of the material a lot quicker, and you'll just get to see things progress a lot faster. In terms of paper, it's totally up to you guys. I do find with wet charcoal that I do like the ability to just mess around and not worry about nice paper. So I'm just using newsprint. If you want to use nice paper, that's totally fine, but don't worry if you don't have newsprint. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm just going to play. Let's just make some marks and get warmed up, because I have not drawn at all today. And I just really need to move, not even think about drawing something good. I just need to get my blood moving a little bit. So I just want to show all of you some of these beautiful marks that you can make, the way you can use your palm or even your fingers to pull and push the charcoal in different directions. And you can also layer on top. So an area like this, where I've smudged like a lot, I could do something like this, make it very soft and atmospheric. I could go over it again with another stroke. And what I wanted to show everybody with the tools, what you can do, you just take the tool and you can really scratch into it. I mean, the flip side of this is sometimes you will end up ripping your paper, but I don't care. I think it's kind of cool. So I'm just going to show you up close what the scratching looks like, because I'm not sure we did this last time in the last stream, but you can get as crazy as you want. You can even draw with the side of this. So this is giving me a broader stroke. Oh, that's really fun. Tell me in the chat, who here is using wet charcoal for the first time? And who is here at the last stream playing around with wet charcoal? And tell me what you thought, because I think a lot of people were like, whoa, I had no idea this was even a possibility. And you can play with different degrees of wetness. Like right now, this is like sopping wet, so it's very easy for me to go in and do almost this like speckled look, or I can go in with this. I mean, you can even sometimes take like a little piece of plastic like this, and I just dip my charcoal in the water. It's almost like one of those Chinese ink sticks, and you make this like paste, basically. So if you wanted to, you could like scrape up the paste like this. I mean, this is almost like a palette knife in a way, what I'm doing here. And again, you can use nice paper. Like, I'm not going to say no to anyone here who wants to use nice paper. It's just, I know sometimes when I'm using nice paper, I tend to get a little bit uptight about things. And I know that I don't like that. And I like having the ability to really experiment. Give me one second. I'm going to turn down the light over here because it's just a little bit bright. And I want to be able to show the value range a little bit more. Okay, so we have a lot of people here for the first time doing wet charcoal. Studio Tindril, never heard of it in 50 years of doing art. Same thing with Pagorami, currently loving the texture, but I definitely made the wrong choice of paper. I'm going to get a new one. John Murph says, I had no idea that the wet charcoal could flow so nicely like that. Yeah, I mean, it depends on the amount of water, and sometimes what I'll do is, even though I've put down these marks, you can always go back and you can re-wet things. So that way it's easier to move around. Like if I really want to just muddy this up like crazy, you can absolutely mess with things like that and then go back over it again. By the way, we are announcing the May Art Dare tomorrow, and it has a lot to do with today's stream. And also, I think you may have seen there's a pattern here. We've been building up because we did the wet charcoal stream. Last week, I did the abstract acrylic painting techniques. And all I'm going to say is that they're all related to the Art Dare. So right now, the stuff that I'm showing you, oh, see, there we go. There. So that's going to happen sometimes. That's not a big deal because I'm just messing around. I'm not trying to do a finished piece. I just am playing. This is not about finishing things right now. But yeah, this is super fun. You know something? I could also use something that's serrated. So let me see if I have my Hello Kitty comb. I don't know if it's here. Give me a second. Or maybe I can use this sponge. Oh, I do have my Hello Kitty comb, except it's got green acrylic all over it. Yuck. All right, let me zoom in and show you what some of these other tools can do, because it's like really fun. Oh, sorry, I messed up my focus. Let's do that. Okay, let's zoom in. All right, so what you can do is something like this. Oh, the comb doesn't work that well. Maybe, oh, you know, probably because it's got crap all over it. Okay, whatever. Anyway, the point is, I mean, you could build this up. You could really get a crazy amount of texture. So what we're going to really focus on today when we get to drawing the landscape, we're going to be layering a lot. We're not going to just put down the marks randomly. We're going to really think about, okay, well, how do I want to control this? And that's one of the difficulties of this technique is, well, how do I actually want to get the values to work? Because wet charcoal is like a beast. It's just like wild and out of control. And so the question is for today's stream, what is the way that we tame that beast to keep that feral quality in the marks, but at the same time, be able to articulate something like a landscape that's more recognizable? Ashley says, is the same technique possible with Conte crayon? I'm pretty sure it is. Actually, I've got my Conte crayon right over here. I could try it just so you guys can see. I thought I, oh, here it is. It's like in my hand. Of course. All right, let's do another warm up and I'll show all of you what the Conte crayon looks like, because really you don't have to do charcoal. You can do soft pastel as well. Spray bottle, drench it. This technique works a lot better when your paper is fully saturated with water. And I do want to show you what vine charcoal looks like, because I know a lot of people try it with vine and they go, oh my gosh, it doesn't work. That's not you, that's the vine charcoal. So vine charcoal, we just have a little bit of this Winsor & Newton vine. And look at what happens when I try to do it. Like nothing happens. Like it doesn't do anything to the surface. And so that's why you have to have the compressed charcoal to make that happen. All right, let's break out the Conte, because I'm curious. I've actually never done it with Conte before. Let's just make marks again. Oh, it does work. Yay! Thank you so much, Ashley, for asking that question, because now we can see how this works. And I mean, who knows? Maybe someday we need to do this with the soft pastels. But I do think it is better to start with one particular color, because then you can control the value a lot more. Let me zoom in so you can all see better. Okay. So, oh, look at that. That is like such yummy ancient Greece terracotta. Check that out. Oh, that feels good. I love that. This is what I need on a Friday. I can't complain. I had a very easy week. It was a little bit boring, but there wasn't any drama. And I'm cool. As long as I don't have any drama, I'm fine. Tell me about your week. Who here had a rotten week? Who here had a great week? I mean, maybe you ran into Benedict Cumberbatch on the street and he divorced his wife and you're moving in next weekend. I mean, maybe that is the week that you had. It's not the week I had. I sent like 5 invoices this week. Like that was my week. It was just really, really boring. Let me try. Oh, maybe this would be good. Let's try this. Oh, that's really fun. Look at that. Just like pushing the marks around. Oops, there we go. It's gonna rip. That's fine. That's why, again, I think it's better to just play. Don't worry about trying to finish something. I think it's better to just mess around a little bit. All right, let me take a brief break so I can look at comments, and then we'll start actually doing a landscape now that I've had a little bit of time to warm up. JD Corgan says, started with jury duty and ended with a watercolor workshop. Well, good thing you ended with the watercolor workshop. M. Pratt says, I just got Schmincke liquid charcoal from Jackson's. With the gum arabic, it doesn't smear, but it's fun to play. And I saw an artist in Cleveland that has crushed it to a fine powder and used with linseed oil. Oh, very cool. I like that a lot. And by the way, thank you so much, Jill, for the super sticker. We greatly appreciate your support. Every contribution you make to ArtProf makes it possible for us to keep our content free so that we never have to have a paywall. And it also helps other artists. Who here would not be able to pay for an art class and relies on free content on YouTube to learn art? Because that's who you're helping. You're helping those people in the chat right now who can't afford to pay for an art class. And that's what's happening when you contribute to Art Prof. You guys are just not going to let Jordan go on this wet charcoal stream, Mayahika. Kaylee says, I use this method in a sidewalk chalk drawing contest to tone my cement area and then drew on top of it. Oh, that's brilliant. I bet that gave you a really nice base to work on top of. That's wonderful. Brittany says, wonder how much the charcoal would absorb on paper like BFK, which is a printmaking paper, or watercolor. I think it's probably fine. The main issue is that I get really tight when I'm using nice paper, and I just don't like to work that way with wet charcoal, but you can definitely try that. All right, let's get a new sheet of paper and let's start a landscape. I feel like I'm putting out my laundry or something. I'm like pulling up these big wet sheets everywhere. Oh, the things that we do as artists. These funny looking things. You know what I'm always very embarrassed about doing? Tell me if you've ever had to do this. For printmaking, when I do woodcuts, I really like poplar. It's a beautiful wood, really sturdy. But the thing is, your average art supply store like Blick or Jerry's Artorama, they don't carry sheets of poplar, and printmaking is just obscure. So you can't do that. So what I have to do to get those sheets of poplar to do the woodcuts is I have to go to a hardware store, like a lumber yard. And I feel like such an idiot because I always go there and there are all these people and they're lugging like 15 foot long pieces of poplar. And I come in and I'm like, can I have one sheet that's 12 inches long? I just feel really, really dumb when I do that. Okay, we're going to start with the image on the top that's on my screen. And this image is actually from Mount Pleasant, which is where I was living for a short period of time before we permanently moved to Salt Lake City. And one thing that I enjoy doing is just starting with my fingers and building up incrementally. Now, when I was just messing around, it didn't really matter. But you will find with wet charcoal, you have to build your way to the darks. You can't start with the darks. I really want to focus on trying to see. I really like that dirty, wet sock in the middle. So I'm going to just start here to articulate this mound of a mountain. And I think what you're going to notice is that my drawing is going to look like nothing for a while. And someone's going to stumble upon this video. They're going to watch this clip and they're going to go, oh, I can't watch this. This is dumb. This person can't draw. That is totally what they're going to see. And for lack of a better word, I'm sort of just feeling up my paper. I'm just suggesting big movements wherever I see them. And I want to like really preserve the whites, because the thing about the whites in those clouds, you can't get them back. I mean, there's no erasing in wet charcoal. And so that's a little bit challenging. So, okay, there are the mountains. Let me get a little more water up here. Keep that nice and wet. And I'm just going to start maybe getting in, like, this is a really large area of gray, this cloud pushing out. And you don't have to use the same photos that I'm using. You can use anything. But we do have a lot of really awesome landscape photos on the Flickr page, so I recommend you check it out. Also, the photos on our Flickr page, they're high resolution and they're free. and they're shot specifically for the purpose of being used for a reference photo. And that's pretty different. A lot of the pictures you would find on, say, Google Images are not shot for that reason, or the resolution's really low. That drives me crazy. Like, sometimes I'm looking for a photo and it's like, I find, oh, that's the photo. And then the resolution's terrible. It's like a 100 pixel image and it's, oh my God, that's the photo, but it's not right in terms of resolution. So for me, that's a very compelling reason for why you may want to use ours or shoot your own photos, which is also good. What I'm trying to pick out is pockets of space. You may have heard me say in the past, talk about zones of space. So I see this dark cloud back here. Like, to me, this is a zone. There's a zone here that's behind this very dark mountain. And then there's like a zone here. Actually, this is not wet enough. Sometimes you have to go back and re-wet, which is fine. It's not going to hurt your piece. There's a zone here, which is more like the blue of the sky. So I want to separate that a little bit more. How's it going, everybody? How are your drawings? Are you feeling very mushy? Because I am. It's very slippery. But in Mount Pleasant, where I shot these photos, the sky is so big. Like, I swear when I went there, there was this feeling that there was more sky. And I'm like, I know there's not more sky here. It's the same amount of sky, no matter where you are. And yet it felt like there was triple the sky than what I'm accustomed to. And I'm not gonna paint everything here. I'm gonna paint just the parts that interest me. And here I see this directional movement, this horizontal way. And you know what I need to work faster. I'm picking a little bit because this really is my warm up. Okay, yeah. Let's not, okay, let's get in here with this. Because I think what happens is I start saying to myself, like, oh, you need to think about this and do this and do that. And then I forget, hey, this is just your first drawing. Maybe you shouldn't be so precious about this whole thing. So let's just play around for a little bit. And I like stuff like this where it's wet, but it's a little bit dry. It's not like wet with river stuff all over the place. And these strokes are very easy to control because they pretty much just go the direction I want them to go in. And in case you're wondering, yes, I will take breaks and stop and look at the chat. I really can't do it right now because my hands are just so disgusting and wet. So I will take time to do that. Okay. I really like using my palm because you'll find that if you don't use your palm, you end up with like a lot of marks that are like this, like just these three fingers, and that tends to break it up. So using the side of my hand to just wipe a big plane in is oftentimes very, very helpful. Like that. I want to try to get a range of edges. I don't know where this is going, and maybe it'll look like total crap, but I don't care. This is not the technique to care about the results. You're going to be pretty miserable. So my recommendation is just assume it's going to look terrible. That's the best way. You just got to lower your standards, you know? That's how I feel about parenting, actually. You know what? If you want to be a successful parent, just lower all your standards. Just say to yourself, my kids are alive. I'm doing great. If you do that, it's like, wow, I'm such a good parent. I'm really, really good at this. None of this like, oh, they need to be emotionally stable. No, I'm just kidding. Because parenting is hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. I mean, it makes everything else seem like a total walk in the park. Parents, please agree with me. There's nothing harder. I mean, you would think that your work would be harder or what? No. Being a parent is the hardest thing. and it always changes. It's never the same. So it's very challenging. Yeah, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to show you the overview of where you can go. And then we'll do one that I really like spend time on and develop. But for now, I just want to, oh crap, that was not good. Just smear it away. Look at that. Oh gosh, this is such a disgusting mess. So much for trying to make something look like something. Although this is a pretty forgiving picture. That's the thing about landscape. Nobody will ever bother you about, there's something wrong with the mouth. I don't like the eyes. You know, nobody's going to say that to you with a landscape, which is really nice for a change. I mean, given that I'm a portrait artist and I have done a lot of those portraits where people are bothering you about everything. All right, let me take a break and see what people are talking about in the chat. Ewan says, this just feels like watercolor to me. It does, but I think because of the intensity and pigment of the charcoal, it definitely has a lusciousness and a depth of value that I don't feel I could do with watercolor. W315 says, our local artist group will finally meet again at the end of May in person outdoors. It will be so great to see everyone again. I know, isn't it so nice to read articles that talk about us getting back to pre-pandemic times? I mean, obviously, we're not even close to being there yet in the US. And there are other countries that are really struggling a lot right now. But it's nice to read about those little stories. Things are starting to pop back. Yes, Mayahika, I am using newsprint. And remember, if you want information on the supplies, the art supply links, they're in the YouTube video description. You can also find the link to the reference photos as well. And if you're drawing along with me, I really hope you will hang out with me in the Art Prof Discord immediately after the stream, because then we can share what everybody is making. Neil says, how's your Procreate journey? We haven't had Procreate streams with you for a while. I was hoping nobody would notice that, Neil. Crap. Well, I think Jordan owes me a wet charcoal stream before I have to go back into the pain of drawing a Procreate. Oh, this is a good one. Soitenly says, poplar is popular with printmakers. Oh, I love the puns, everybody. Megan says, I always want to start with the darks. I'm the same way, Megan. I mean, I have this helpless addiction to dark that makes me feel very anchored. And so doing images like this where I really can't start with the black, it's hard for me to hold back in that way. Ariel says, I love how atmospheric the wet charcoal can look. I know, it's like it does it without you even trying to do that. It's an inherent part of wet charcoal's personality, which is why I think it's great for landscape. I think it's great if you are somebody who is trying to loosen up and be less reliant on rendering. This is the technique. This is what worked out all of my rendering compulsions that I had in high school. I mean, I was one of those kids, like I would just copy everything to the ultimate precision of a photo. And when I was exposed to wet charcoal as an art school student, this just blew up my world as an artist. And I just was not the same afterwards, in a good way, not in a negative way. We have a question here from, sorry, I think I just lost it. Pogorami says this is so fun. Tell me, who's having fun with this technique? How can you not have fun? I mean, I guess if you're Jordan, you're not going to have fun, but I'm having fun. Gypsy Heart says, I think it looks like a volcano erupting with ash and smoke. Oh, maybe I'm drawing Pompeii. Who here knows what Pompeii is? Who can sum up Pompeii in one sentence? That's tricky. I went to Pompeii when I was studying in Rome. It's really intense. I love it, though. I don't love that it happened. It's a terrible thing that happened. But a lot of the imagery that came out from the ruins is just really, really beautiful. Neil says, this is just maybe my insecurity speaking, but why do people want to be parents? Like, how can you love someone even though you don't know who they're going to be? I can't wrap my head around it. Neil, that's just really deep. I don't know if I can think that deep right now. Maybe some of the other parents can answer. I think it's just somebody said to me, and I think this is very accurate. They said that becoming a parent is the best and the worst thing to ever happen to you. And it's true, because when I worry about my kids, I really feel like I can't breathe sometimes. And oh my gosh, like sometimes they'll just do this one little thing. And to me, it's the most beautiful thing on the planet. The most beautiful sound in the world. I don't know how to explain it. Anyway. All right, Megan B, 79 AD eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Yes, the people had no warning at all. Vesuvius revenge. Volcano that went boom. A long time ago. That should be like the tagline for a Pompeii movie. I'm sure that, have they made a Pompeii movie? I feel like they would have by now. Okay. I'm going to start another one because this was my warm-up. And I'm actually looking forward to the third image from the top, because that one I shot at Antelope Island. Antelope Island is about 45 minutes from Salt Lake City. There's something about it. It feels like the end of the world. Not in terms of like Ragnarok, but as in it's totally untouched. It feels like you're about to walk amongst dinosaurs. It's very strange. And actually, that's where I got my bison photos. Did everybody see my bison photos on Flickr? I was very proud of my bison photos because we got really close to them because they happened to be crossing the road when we were in the car. You can get out and look at them, but obviously you don't want to get too close because you can totally get stampeded on top of the bison. But I was like psyched about that. Okay, let's do the one with the rocks because that's such a different image than the one that we just did, which is very cloudy. Okay, this one's a lot more different, but again, I am gonna start with my little paste in a piece of plastic. And I think for this one, I'm really gonna squint. I'm gonna look at big shapes of tone because the light is pretty visible. There's like this big chunk of rocks. Goes up like that. It looks like a maggot. Weird. And then this one is sort of the anchoring rock. Like that. So you can see I use my palm a lot. I use the side of my hand and I keep it really, really vague. Like I don't even think about details. It's just way, way, way too soon for that. So don't even go there. Just general, vague, very ambiguous. That. Oh, you know where this is? Actually, this is in Salt Lake City. And we went here a couple months ago, I believe. I can't remember the exact name, but I think it's called like Flintstones Living Room. Because if you go to the top, there are these two rock formations. I'm not kidding. They look like couches in your living room. It's like all you need is a TV to just sit down. Somebody look it up. I think it's Flintstone's living room. It's something funny like that. But it's got these gigantic rocks, which are really intense and cool. And I just want to block out. See, this is getting all spotty. I don't really like that very much. It can be hard to make like a nice, smooth, even area of tone. That's not really that easy to do with wet charcoal. And so if you're trying to do it, go ahead, try. I don't know how well it's going to work. And then I want to just indicate a little bit in the distance. I do think when you're doing landscape, it is important that you work the whole thing. Like there's this whole like blue section at the top. It's not that important, but I just want to put some, oh crap. See, that's what happens. Something there. How many of you think that it's actually easier to work with crummy materials? Because I sometimes get stressed out. Like if I have like a really nice sheet of Arches watercolor paper, I'm like, oh, this paper is so expensive. The work I make has to be good. And this is like a crap piece of newsprint. And I just don't care. I'm like, okay, whatever. Okay, you probably cannot tell at all what I'm doing, but I think what I'm gonna do now is a pass to block in some of the more dark, rigid areas. And I really do wanna like draw more carefully here to get in some of the shapes. That. So I think maybe I'll just start with something that's more like a line drawing, and then I'll go back and work around some of those other areas. But what I'm looking at right now as I'm drawing is the pockets of black. Does everybody see these like little chunks of black that are coming in? So actually what I'm drawing right now, I'm drawing the rocks, but I'm drawing in between the rocks. I think a lot of people would think, oh, if you draw a rock, you should trace it. No, not necessarily. Like here, I'm just gonna draw this little black crevice that comes up like that. And I'm not gonna think about the individual rocks. I wanna think about the rocks as a group. That's the key, because I think with a big chunk of rock like this, you're not going to want to go rock by rock. Like that's a big pain in the butt. It's a lot better to think about them as like a cluster of rocks, and then you can play with that. The other thing too is I do think when you work with wet charcoal, sometimes it's really easy for the drawing to get ahead of you. How many people here feel like they're almost drawing too fast for their comfort? I mean, in some ways, that's a good thing because you're learning how to do something different. At the same time, though, it's hard to control. It's hard to get, especially like the value range that you're really looking for is tricky. Okay. Yeah, like here, I'm going to define this big rock. Try to get more shadow because there's like really bright sunlight on this one. Yeah, this is all in shadow. So actually, I'm going to take my hand after a couple of these marks, and I'm just going to do a sweep of shadow and another sweep. And then this is all like, ooh, that's really fun. I'm just going to make a lot of wiggly strokes here, and there's this, it's like a little pyramid here. That's so specific. Yeah, like here is like a big mess of marks. So I'm just gonna put these little strokes to show that texture. I mean, I'm using my fingernails right now. You don't even have to use those sculpture tools. Okay, there's my little pyramid. Okay, now I'm like getting lost. Like where are the marks? Can't find them. Okay, so here there's like these patchy strokes up. Because what I'm trying to do right now, I'm trying to not outline everything. I think that's also a problem in landscape when you try to outline everything. it's like it's too well defined. Maybe come over here and okay, we need a big wipe of shadow. Because I really want this to pop. So maybe I'll take my finger and just do this. You know what else I did today, everybody? I posted this in the Discord. Okay, so I was watching Jane Eyre. I know, for like the 8,000th time, okay? But then, you know how Netflix and Amazon, they're always like, if you liked this, maybe you would like this. So there's a million adaptations of Jane Eyre, obviously. And so Amazon was like, watch this Jane Eyre. And I was like, okay, let's see what it's like. And it was like intolerably terrible. Like, oh my God, it was so bad. And I was like, you know what? I've watched this movie so many times. I really should read the book. I feel dumb not having read the book. So, and we all know the book is always better than the movie. And so I went to this bookstore, which is very close to where I live. And I go in and I get Jane Eyre. And the woman's like, oh, Jane Eyre. I'm like, yes. Seen the movie a few times. Like, yeah, a couple times here and there I've seen it. So we'll see, because now I can just imagine Fassbender the whole time. I was hoping maybe it'll make his character richer. Okay, let me take a break. And let's see what people are saying in the chat. MM is asking, do water-soluble oil pastels work for this? I've actually never used a water-soluble oil pastel, so I don't really know what that material is. I mean, try it. There's nothing wrong with trying it. I want to give a shout out to Meisuko. Thank you so much for your super chat. Who says, bought Arches watercolor paper, have not used any of it since it was expensive. I do the exact same thing, where I'm like at the store and I'm like, oh, Arches, hot press watercolor paper. And it's so expensive and I buy it anyway and it feels so good and it's like on my shelf. Yes. Ashley says, mine looks so bad compared to Prof. You know what, Ashley? Don't worry about it. I know that that is an automatic response. That's what everybody does. You look at other people's stuff. Oh man, theirs is better than mine and stuff. But just focus on the process. Focus on the experience. Because after this demo, I don't know where this drawing is going to go. It's probably going to go in the closet. Probably nobody's really going to see it. And so if you think about it, you're like, oh, well, if nobody's going to see it, what's the point of making it? The point of making it is having the experience of drawing. And that's what I want everybody to have here. I don't really care if your drawings come out amazing or not. I mean, it's nice if they do. I'm not going to complain. But what I'm saying is that I think my feeling about the draw-alongs is that they are much less about the product and they're a lot more about being together and talking and exchanging ideas and playing around. And then you can take those experiences and go make something really good, because I think that it gets distracting if you're having to think a lot about that. Ariel says, which Jane Eyre movie? I've read the book at least 12 times. Do you really have to ask me that, Ariel? Of course, it's a 2011 version with Michael Fassbender. Oh my God. We'll have to see if I actually like the book. I don't know. I'm a very impatient reader, so I hope I can get through it. Lisa says, I lose my way in the rocks. I start drawing one dark crack, but get mixed up where I'm at. So my recommendation for that, everybody has that, but you have to think about it in terms of groups. So you guys see here, this is a group, and that's a group. Okay, so you might look at the photo and you see like, oh, all these individual rocks, but you have to see them as groups. And then you can subdivide them. Like you can say, okay, well, here's a group, but now that I have the group established, I can start to subdivide the individual rocks. But it's like, you can't do that until you establish the group. So it's very tricky. Chris Ortiz says, I've never drawn with charcoal like this. I'm excited to try it out. It seems very expressionistic. Oh, this is the way. If you have ever had trouble loosening up or being expressionistic, this is the technique for you, because you cannot be neat with this technique. It's impossible. Ariel says, I work a lot on cheap paper. So then when I work on nice paper and get into the zone, I relax because I forget I'm working on the nice paper. Oh, that's a good trick. I should do that. Cool. Brittany says, with my last sketchbook, I made the mistake of making it with nothing but nice papers. They were all scraps from past projects, but still frightened me to use it. Yeah, and it's like, it's so silly because it's like, didn't we buy that paper to use it? But I think that that's across the board. I think a lot of us feel that way with like really nice supplies. Mary X. Bella says, I don't know if this is just a me thing. I cannot stand the texture of charcoal. It's totally a sensory overload ordeal, but I absolutely love observing it. Does anyone else get this? I have definitely had students that have had that reaction. And I think Jordan told me that he did wear gloves when he was doing wet charcoal. But yeah, I have some people that are like that. I also have, I feel like there must be a word for this, but I have a friend who hates styrofoam. She cannot say, like, she cannot touch it. If you take a piece of styrofoam and you rub your finger on it, she hates the sound of it. I feel like there must be a word. It just, it's so irritating to her as a noise. Ava says, what are you doing the painting on? I'm using newsprint. So again, if you guys want the full supply list, go down to the YouTube video description below, and I have all the links there, as well as the links to the reference photos that you can download for your own use. Oh, is this what it is? Ewan says, misophonia. Oh my God. JD Corrigan says we can buy Jordan gloves if that is what it takes for his wet charcoal stream. I think, JD, it's going to take a little bit more than that, so we'll have to see. Okay, let's get back into this. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a step back, and I'm going to squint because I think I misunderstood this mass. I feel like this looks like a can. It's not, it should feel a little bit rounder. So I'm going to make these like rounder strokes. And there are these like weird little marks. I mean, one thing that I do like about these photos is that they're my photos. And so I have experienced everything that we're looking at. Now, I know not everybody can do that. Not everybody can go to Flintstone's garden and chill, but if you are really thinking about getting into landscape, my recommendation, have a connection with the place that you are drawing. It really does show, I think, in terms of how people read the artwork, because it's like, even if nobody tells you that the artist knows it, it's like you can feel it. People have very strong reactions to certain places. Tell me in the chat, what is your favorite outdoor place? It could be the park down the street. It could be Goblin Valley. That's one of my favorite places. Unfortunately, it's really far from everything and giant pain to get to. But tell me what's your favorite place and what it is about that place that you love that you would want to really show. Like, what is distinctive about that place that maybe somebody who saw a photograph of it would never be able to comprehend? Because there's something really beautiful about seeing these places in real life. Just nothing substitutes it. Now, another thing you might notice, my paper is starting to dry up a little bit. not a huge amount, but it's getting there. It's not sopping wet like it was. And sometimes that's helpful because then you can really control things a lot better. And so some of you might actually find that you like the paper not being quite so wet because it is easier to control the value. So try that. See if that helps you. I'm trying to get some crisper edges to show some of the stiff parts. Actually, I'm getting lost again. I think this is like a little hut down here. That looks like a nice little area for a squirrel. Cool. And this actually needs to be subdivided as well. Yeah. I mean, I do like that rocks. Nobody's going to bother you. Your rock is too much to the left. People never say stuff like that. It's great. Livia says, a little corner between so many houses next to my apartment, which has the best view of the sunset ever. I feel so free and alive there. I can't even explain. That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Vash the Stampede says, the beach at night, the incredibly dark and sentient waves. Starving Artist says, I have 4 beaches nearby. I never get tired of painting and drawing them. The changing colors, light, and movement means the beaches are never boring to me. I love these stories. I wish you could read them all, but I hope you guys are reading all the stuff that's in the chat. And by the way, I don't know if you all knew this, but I had this comment, somebody commented, they're like, oh my God, I love the comments in the chat. I love reading them. So yeah, you guys are part of this experience now. It's nice, then I don't have to work so hard. But we do have a really good, smart, witty, pun-filled audience. Because actually, you know something, I was watching a stream, I think as it popped up in my suggested, it wasn't because I meant to actually go there, but I can't remember what the channel was, but the guy was drawing some like hyper-realistic portrait of a girl. And I was watching the chat because I was curious. It's like, oh, I don't really know what other people's chats are like. And it was not that active for the number of people that were watching. Like, there are way more people watching than there are on your arch. That was like double, but there was not that much activity. Oh, shoot. I didn't mean to make that so dark. Oh, crap. Maybe if I... Let me see if I can, like, shave that away. If I can push it off. Ugh. That is, like, way too dark. I did not mean to do that. Shoot. See, this is where it's, like, you have to be careful about how dark. Like, I made that way too dark so fast, and now I'm a little bit mad. And now I'm kind of annoyed that I put too much black there. Like, that does not look that good. See, I liked it 5 minutes ago. Like, it was actually pretty good 5 minutes ago, and now I feel like I lost everything. Let's move down to the corner. Maybe I can get it to work. Sometimes if I'm frustrated with something, I'll just like leave it alone and come back, because sometimes that time away can get you to see things a little bit more differently. Oh, this is really wet now. Ugh. That's the other thing. Like, this part is almost dry. This part is very wet. And so sometimes you have to deal with that as well. Trying to show like the contour of this rock, but it's like to do that, I have to put that stuff back there. Oh, this is hard. And then I do want to show like there's a lot of detail down here. So I'm just going to, again, with my fingers, you know, maybe let's try this. Let me see if I can like maybe scrape in a little bit. Or I can rip the paper. That's another option. That's another thing that can happen. Just trying to see if maybe I can pull out. I don't really like the way that looks. Guys, I think I ruined it. think it's over. This is another technique, I think, similar to watercolor. It's like you got to know when to stop when you're ahead. And I should have stopped like 5 minutes ago, but I don't know. Maybe I really just need to work on it more. Maybe I'm just being really impatient. Who knows? Might be time to move on. I really do want to do that Antelope Island piece. The other thing is that these do look different after they dry. They're not quite exactly the same thing. Although I do want to add this little tree up here, which I was sort of dying to draw for a little bit. So I'm going to just pop in some of those. Oh, and you know, there's a little tiny tree here. Does everybody see that? It's so small. Oh, there's two. Oh, there's another one there. Cute. I don't think mine look that good, but I'm just going to put them in there and maybe give this one more of like a shadow, just so it's not just floating. Okay, and then maybe this one can have a little shadow behind it too. Oh, that's actually good because now you can see this mountain as separate from the other one. And maybe if I can give it just a little bit more texture, I don't know, it's starting to get really busy now. All right, let me see what people are saying in the chat. Jonelle Logan says, do you think you could lift off some of the charcoal with a paper towel like you do in watercolor? Not really. I think watercolor, at least in my experience, the water, it sits on the surface. This is going like into the newsprint. It might be different. Like if I was not using newsprint, maybe I would be able to do that. But right now I know I can't do that. It's totally in there. Debussy says, thinking about that disastrous blue house some streams ago. Oh, please don't remind me. Oh my gosh. That was so bad. Oh my God. Justin says, I was loving white charcoal with this. Oh, I've never actually done white charcoal on it. That would be really interesting. Noor says, this charcoal drawing reminds me of Norman Ackrod's prints. I love his prints so much. Yeah, look up Norman Ackrod. If you guys don't know who Noor is talking about, this is a really incredible printmaker and artist. He's a British contemporary printmaker. Beautiful landscapes. Oh my gosh. Livia says, so cool because no matter which live stream you go into, there's always that one person saying mean and very, very bad things, but not in this channel. It never happens here. I love this community. Oh, good, because we're very quick to boot the jerks. Pagarami has a tip. By the way, when your wet charcoal art dries, you can set it with hairspray and it stays dry without fallout. Oh, very cool. I mean, I suppose you could also use fixative if you have fixative. But yeah, it does tend to not be remotely as powdery, but it still does have the capacity to be ruined. So yeah, you would need to use something like that. Yifan says, in my hometown, there's a place where you can drive up, which is a community college parking lot. If you go there at night, you can see the entire city and its lights. Oh, I love that. You wouldn't think you would get that from a parking lot. Like a parking lot's not exactly the most romantic place to be, but I like that a lot. Okay, so Quickly says, I use tissue to reduce the water, but it gives very nice marks. Yeah, I mean, just play around with it. Anything goes. You cannot do this wrong. The only way you can do it wrong is if you use vine charcoal, but you're not going to use the compressed charcoal. It's a lot better, or the soft pastel. So Studio Tindril says, I experimented a bit with tissue. It does work to smooth out the tone, but you can't actually lift much. Yeah, like watercolor, you really can just lift it, which is great. Ermac says, the whole time I was tabbed over looking at the reference photo, and wow, mine looks so different from Professor Liu's. It's kind of cool how we found different things to focus on. Oh, yes. Everybody looks at the same thing in a different way. And I love that about these draw-alongs, that none of us are going to draw the same thing. We are all attracted to very, very different parts of the same scene. Okay, we got to draw Antelope Island. I really, really want to draw this. Although, I do think this one, the third image from the top, I do think that one is going to be the hardest because it's very subtle and it's really smooth. All right. Let's do Antelope Island. I don't know that this is the best photo for this technique because it's really subtle, but I'm just curious. And just because I love that space so much. And you know something? Who cares how it turns out? A lot of people are like, that doesn't look, I'm like, I don't care. Actually, I got this really trolly comment. We get some now and then on YouTube and we delete them obviously, but I sometimes save screenshots because some of them are really funny and people get really dramatic about certain things. And somebody was like, that looks nothing like that photo. How can you call yourself an artist? It doesn't look anything like that. Like they were very mad that my drawing didn't look just like the photo. I was like, sorry. My drawing. You don't get to tell me what to do. Okay. We're moving on to Antelope Island. Oh, geez. Let's just look at the photo. Tell me in the chat, look at that photo and tell me where you would start. My first impulse would be to start with the black island here because I'm attracted to dark values, la la la. That is not new for me, but I don't think I should start there. I mean, you might say maybe you should put down the horizon line because maybe that's a good anchor. Maybe I'll just do that. Maybe I'll just be boring and do that. And then maybe I'll push downwards this way because most of the drama is in the middle and up. The bottom area is very, very minimal. And so maybe, yeah, I'm going to be boring and start with the horizon line. It just feels like the right place. And again, I'm going to really try to not overwork it. That's probably not going to happen, but I try when I'm doing a session like this, like I'm doing multiple drawings, I try to learn from the previous drawing. Like I said, oh, the last one, I got too crazy with the black and I should have held back a little bit more. So that's what I'm going to do this time. You know something else? I don't know about anybody else, but I really like drawing with my thumb because the thumb is just so much bigger. It can cover more space. Sometimes I feel like my fingers are like too small. I don't know. They just don't like cover as much as I want them to. That's kind of fun. Ooh, I like that. Okay, I really want to do that. I'm really not gonna. I'm gonna try. I'm really, really gonna try. It's hard to work against your tendencies. We all have tendencies. We all, if we aren't thinking about it, we'll just naturally do certain things, and that's fine. But I do think that it is good to be aware of that. Like my tendency with the figure, if I'm not thinking about it, I always make the legs too short. Always. And I know I do that, but if I don't remind myself, I will totally just go on out of my pilot and just do that. What is your tendency? Do you tend to do dark? Do you tend to draw the same nose all the time? I don't know. Like, what is your thing? What is your tendency? That's my tendency. Legs are always too short. You know what I'm gonna do here? I'm gonna really try to draw with like the side of this. I don't know, I don't like, my finger marks are like way too small and like I'm trying to get like a bigger wipe. So let's just draw with the side like that. That's kind of fun, dramatic. Ooh. Where have you been all my life, side of my hand? Ooh, I'm sort of enjoying that. This is a challenge in subtlety for me, this image. This is not my normal area of comfort. This is really hard to do something that's such low in value. Not easy for me. I mean, if I could have my chiaroscuro, George de la Tour, Jane Eyre candlelight all the time, I'd be happy. I mean, be happier if Mr. Rochester was hanging out with me instead of stupid Jane Eyre. And this part, yeah, I think I need to make it more wet. It's tricky because sometimes it dries very differently. Like sometimes you think it looks a certain way and then it dries another way. Yeah, I kind of like that way better. The last one was like overdone. I feel like I jumped the gun on some of the value and I paid for it. But I feel better about this one. I feel that I'm building it a little bit more incrementally. And let's just try this. I'm just taking some water and let's just use this to like smooth it out. I don't know how far I'm gonna get, but I just wanna see if I can like really show that difference. And maybe make the horizon line, especially here, just make it crisper, make the edges more dramatic. Contrast is crazy low though. It's beautiful. Jazz says, I draw with both hands in charcoal usually. That is really cool. Actually, the RISI professor, Victor Lara, who taught me this technique, he did that all the time. He was very intense when he drew. It was amazing. Ava says, I tend to focus too much on one area. Then I look back and I'm shocked at how different the two areas are. Oh my goodness. I still do that. Like even though I totally know better, I do that all the time still because it's easy. You just get sucked into the experience of that one area. You get hypnotized by it. I do that too. Justin says, one corner of the image is always way too dark, like black. Like it totally kills the composition. Oh my God, that sounds like story of my life. Anthony says, I tend to make the head too big. I think heads are really hard for people because if you think about the human figure, the head is really far from everything else. And I think because it's only one, maybe if people had two heads, we would be easier to draw because it would be symmetrical, you know, like one arm here, one head here, but we don't have that. We only have one head and that's tougher to do. Roman says, so hard and wet. Yep. Livia says, I tend to fall into super realism and I hate it. I always catch myself trying to make my drawing look as accurate as possible to the reference. I think that's pretty common, but it still sucks. I do that too, because I have enough skill that I can do that if I want to. And sometimes I wish I didn't. Sometimes I wish I had less rendering skill so I wouldn't have that temptation. And you know something, actually, I was talking to somebody in the Discord today. So we have a voice channel that is for Patreon supporters. And so we have these weekly voice sessions and people can come in and you can have your work critique or you just talk to me about whatever, get some support, hear what other people have to say. And they're really fun sessions. I was like so charged after that session. I loved it. It was very, very inspiring. And one of the people, they had two portraits. They had one that was like very technically accomplished, like beautiful details and lighting and all kinds of just amazing oil painting technique for a portrait. And then they had another portrait that was very loose and gestural. The artist said that they'd done it very, very quickly. And they asked me, hey, which one do you like better? They were really, really different. And I said, well, I like the fast one better because it has more personality and all that. And I think that was sort of similar to what you were describing, is that they were feeling like, oh, because I can pen that way, I should. And, oh, it's such a shame to not use my technique, because obviously you work really hard to get that technique, and to not use it, it almost feels like wrong. But I do think that sometimes you have to know to just not pick that choice, even though it's harder to do that. Oh, I think I'm losing my mountains over here. So it's like, just because you can, it doesn't mean you have to. It's sort of like musicians, like, just because you can play it super fast doesn't mean it's the best rendition. Like, playing something fast, while it might be very impressive technically, and yeah, not everybody can play that fast, it doesn't always sound good to hear a piece played really fast. A piece that's just all technical but doesn't really have a lot of heart. And so it's sort of like that as far as talking about drawing realistically. It's like sometimes drawing realistically, it feels like that. It's like somebody who can draw, who can play a violin piece like crazy fast, but it's like not that interesting to listen to. I was listening to Yasha Heifetz. Who knows who Yasha Heifetz is? I would be very impressed if you know who Yasha Heifetz is. Ugh. Okay, I'll tell you. Best violinist. I'm sorry, it's Zach Perlman. I think you're amazing too, but oh, nobody's like Yasha Heifetz. When I listen to his violin recordings, it just sounds so easy. It's like, and it doesn't feel like any effort went in, even though you know a crazy amount of effort went in there. And I just admire that. You could make something that's so incredibly hard, make it look so easy and fluid. Like, that's amazing to me that somebody could do that. Okay, I'm trying to like do these reflections in the water. I just need to do like a quick wipe to bring everything together. I don't know. It's so light and subtle. I feel like I'm massaging my newsprint. Getting there. It's hard to see because a lot of this is like creasing, and I can't really tell if it's the crease or if it's the paper. So I won't really know until the piece is dry. Blue Wren says, Yasha Heifetz was the best violinist of all time. I heard Itzhak Perlman at the Barbican in London in 1990. That was pretty awesome. I mean, Itzhak Perlman is pretty freaking amazing too, but I don't know. There's something about the Yasha Heifetz. It just, the sound just rolls off the string. I don't know. It's just very, I don't know how to describe it. There's no words for it. Solivagant says, I didn't have charcoal, so I'm using a pen to do watercolor. I'm having so much fun. That's great. I mean, a lot of the principles that I'm talking about are fairly similar with the wet material. Oh, wow. We have a lot of violin people. Paul Garami says Hilary Hahn. Maya Hika says Hilary Hahn and Ray Chen. I confess I have not really listened to a lot of Hilary Hahn, so I don't feel like I can make a statement about her playing. And Soyton Lee says, so true about playing music fast. I have to slow down on some pieces that I've played a long time. It's a constant battle. Yeah, because it's easy to just like turn off. Like when you know how to play a piece, you just go blah, 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 and it's like you're not really doing anything that expressive, actually. It's like you're just playing it. Okay, I want to get a little bit of, okay, I think it's time to put in the black. Yay! I'm going to really dig in here. See, this feels good. I deserve this. Yeah, I've been listening to more classical music lately, and I'm so glad I am, because sometimes it just doesn't occur to me. And I don't know what my problem is. Tell me in the chat. But when I'm working, I have to listen to trash music. Like, I can't listen to something good. I feel like it's wrong. Because like when I'm working, I'm not really listening. I'm just, it's just on. It's not the same thing. And so I guess when I listen to like Yasha Heifetz or classical music, like I want to listen, like I want to really pay attention. But when I'm working, I'm not really paying attention. So I don't oftentimes listen to that stuff. Oh, that's really satisfying. I love black. I will never get tired of black in terms of value. Okay, now I need to restrain myself because I know I'm going to go overboard here. So I'm going to try to slow down a little bit so I don't lose some of these sections that I'm really like wanting to preserve. Like there's a very beautiful streak of black here that I want to just smear away. Ooh, and this is really pretty, the way there's this like stripe that comes down the side. Actually, here I may not want to smudge as much. Maybe here I want to control a little bit more. I don't know, but then it gets really light over here. It's tricky. Okay, I think what I need to define the horizon better. Okay, so if that's the black part. Like that. Maybe I just need like a nice sharp edge here. Be like this. Oh shoot, I think I made it too dark. Crap. I knew it! I knew it was gonna happen. Maybe if I can just like really fuzz it, I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna work. Oh, it's too dark. Let's see if I can just, some of the water might push it off a little bit. Like that. That's a little bit better. The other option, which I like, is just getting darker. If you're too dark on that side, you darken this side, and then that shifts the value balance, which I like. Okay, and this has this little line that sort of cuts through. I want this line to be a little more crisp. That's fun. And I want this line to also be more prominent because the horizon line is pretty well defined. I don't want to totally lose it. It might be too much. Just blend it in. Maybe if I push this like upward motion like that. Maybe just, there's this like line down here at the bottom that is very beautiful. I don't want to lose it. So let's just dip my hand in the water and just move it around. Get some of that. Oh shoot, that was too dark. No, come back. That might be it. I might have to stop because I feel like I can ruin it. You little tiny, no, step back, step back. Blue Ren, you read my mind. It's that moment when you can see disaster coming, you know what you need to do to avoid it, and somehow you do it anyway. What is that? Nobel Prize for the person who finds the answer. Starving Artist says, my favorite trash movies when working are Terminator movies for the explosions. Oh, Assassin's Creed. Oh, I would be on board for Assassin's Creed. There's so many shirtless scenes with Michael Fassbender in there. Ariel says, I like your painting better than the photo. Well, that's a big compliment. I think when I am using a photo reference, that's what I hope for. I hope that the drawing is better than the photo, because the thing is, like, that photo, that's not an artistic photo. That's just me snapping away. Like, I wasn't trying to compose with that. It was just, here's the raw information, and now I'm trying to interpret that. Jazz says, when I'm working, it's total trash music. 70s disco and funk are the best. Livia says, same. Your painting is so expressive. Well, thank you very much. Neil says, I love the blacks. You know what it is? Does everybody see? If I had done that first, I don't think I would have pushed the range of gray very much. That is the difference. It's like, I knew that was my weakness. I knew that was going to screw with me. And I'm so glad that I held off on that, because I do think ultimately in the end, that did work out pretty well. I would love it for all of you to join me in the Art Prof Discord. I will be hanging out in the Art Alongs channel. The Discord invite link is in the YouTube video description below. Subscribe to our channel so you can continue to grow and develop as an artist. And everybody, thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters for making it possible for everybody here to have free access to art education with no paywall so that we can all work and learn together as artists. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.